I'm no better than you. You know, I'm a 960 SAT guy. I cannot, you've never seen me read a speech because I cannot read a speech.
In the shadowy corridors of Sacramento's one-party fiefdom, Governor Gavin Newsom once again stands exposed as the master architect of yet another taxpayer-funded grift. This time, it's a $20 million diaper deal funneled through a nonprofit network tied to his wife.
40 million diapers, as many diapers will be distributed this year as Californians. We'll get to 80 million next year. The goal ultimately is 160 million, but we'll start 25% of the need, get up to 50% of the need next year. So we're going to go where the need is greatest first, and we'll start with 400 diapers.
The state is set to hand out 40 million diapers at a bloated 50 cents a piece. That is 8 to 10 times what bulk buyers pay at Costco. The math doesn't add up for the very families it's supposed to help.
All right, so Gavin Newsom is taking $20 million of your money to send 100,000 babies 400 diapers. That works out at 50 cents per diaper. We just came into Target to check out what you could buy it for in the store. Here you go, just check this one out here. 162, $26, that works out at 16 cents per diaper. Gavin Newsom's diapers are three times more expensive. This isn't even Costco. Why is it three times more expensive for Gavin Newsom to send diapers to 100,000 babies than just leaving the money in the bank account to the parents in the first place? Because it's going to some total bullshit non-profit, which the cronies of his are going to make money, and that is what is wrong with California. Instead of just cutting taxes so you can afford diapers and sending it out in this ridiculous bureaucratic scheme.
But let's pull back the curtain on the full empire of waste and connections that defines Newsom's reign. This diaper debacle joins a rap sheet of epic failures. $18 billion and counting poured into the high-speed rail with zero trains running. Then there's the homeless industrial complex. $37 billion spent under his watch, turning California into the nation's unhoused capital with zero accountability for where the money vanished as tent cities swell and audits go ignored.
The homeless, they lose $20 billion, but they want more money for it. Well, that's why people get tired of paying taxes and going, well, what are you doing? Gavin Newsom just vetoed a bill asking for an audit of where the money for homeless goes. He said, not a chance.
Add the COVID-era EDD unemployment fraud that bled an estimated $33 billion to scammers, prisoners, and ghosts.
They let out half of the prisoners out of the state of California. They have basically decriminalized most criminal offenses here. They are not serious about crime. So the federal government's stepping in, and when we charge you, you're looking at serious prison time.
Even his former chief of staff has faced fraud charges.
Federal officials have charged former chief of staff to Governor Gavin Newsom, Dana Williamson, with public corruption, fraud, obstruction of justice, and tax crimes. The 23-count indictment accuses Williamson of conspiring to divert nearly $250,000 from a dormant political campaign to an associate's personal use. The indictment also alleges that Williamson filed false tax returns claiming more than $1 million in business deductions for personal expenses, including a private jet and luxury hotel stays.
Newsom's California isn't governance. It's a self-perpetuating machine of connected nonprofits, cronies, and vanishing public funds.
Man, Gavin is an innovator. I swear this state is being run by the mob. Everyone in government is milking taxpayers through these shady NGOs, and nowhere is it more pervasive than Karen Basura's LA, where the homeless organization's raking cash, but the problem continues to fester. Ever wonder why we pour billions of our taxpayer dollars into homelessness and yet you only see more filth and drug addicts on the streets? It's because it's all a scam.
While everyday Californians dodge needles on sidewalks, Newsom is a broken flip-flopping record, doing 180s on everything from reparations to oil production to health care for illegals to defunding the police. The pattern is corruption as plain as the sunset over Monterey Bay. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network.
All right, folks, and like always, you can find and share John Bound's work at alexjoneslive.com. That's alexjoneslive.com. War Room begins in about 90 seconds. Share that link, tell your friends, and tune in. We got a big show for you today. The War Room, 90 seconds. Don't go anywhere.
make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue. Blue.
I know. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, War Room Live. You can follow us at Alex Jones Live. Follow us on X at AJN Live. Follow me at Harrison H. Smith. We got a big show for you today. And I don't know, I hope everybody had a good weekend. Hope everybody had a wonderful Mother's Day. We went camping for Mother's Day. It was quite the experience. I don't know what to make of my experience. We went to Longhorn Caverns. Have you ever heard of Longhorn Caverns? It's like a cave system that was basically created as part of the New Deal. And, you know, obviously, as a more libertarian-leaning person, I tend to oppose gigantic nationwide, you know, mobilization activity just to, you know, pay people to do busy work. It's like ostensibly, seemingly, it's the type of thing I would be resolutely opposed to nowadays. Nowadays, I'd be opposed to it. Back then, though, like, basically, there's this cave system that was full of debris. They hauled out something like 30 tons of debris. But in the 1930s, when there was depression, there was massive homelessness and, you know, vagrancy. It wasn't even really homelessness. It was vagrancy, right? It was people going from place to place trying to find work. And so FDR is like, well, we'll make the CCC. It's called the CCC. It's like the Civilian Conservation Corps, something like that. Not actually sure exactly what it was titled. But it's basically like every lake in Texas was built, like a dam was built in the 1930s as part of this movement. And like you travel around the towns today that sit on lakes in Texas, and it's like obviously there's the boating industry that's there. There's the fishing industry, the boating sports, you know, wakeboarding and water skiing. And, you know, every restaurant there is sort of a, you know, lake themed type of thing. And you just sit there and you go, what would this place have looked like if they hadn't built that dam and made this lake? Like, what industry would it have? What? I don't know. You just think about, like, man, this was a time when, even if it was the government coming in and doing what the government does, it was positive. It was a good thing to have. And these guys got good jobs where they were doing physical labor, just hauling rocks out of a cavern. But what do you get at the end of it? Here we are 100 years later, and I saw like 400 people in that cave in one day. It was just people going through constantly generating money, constantly generating interest, constantly supporting all of the little businesses around, because you go to the caverns and you got to go have lunch, or you got to go. It's you know, beautiful, and the scientific, you know, discoveries that they made there, the testing of mammoth bones, figuring out how the Native Americans used to drive the mammoths into a big pit and they'd fall into the cave and you'd have, you know, natives in there waiting to kill them. There was an awesome story where there's this one giant room they called the Council House, and it's just a giant underground cavern. And back in the day, the sun would come through. The Cherokee had a rule that they couldn't meet anywhere the sun didn't shine. And so the only place they would meet in this cave was this one place where the sun would come through. And at one point, the Cherokee kidnapped some white girls. I think either one or two white women. They kidnap them. They take them back to this cave system. And then there's a story. It's in the 1840s. Three Texas Rangers drop down in a different entrance to the cave system, make their way through this pitch black, you know, tunnel system and ambush the Cherokee. Three guys against like, you know, 50 Cherokee, but they have the element of surprise. They grab the women and they escape. It's like a Conan the Barbarian story. It's like the coolest story you've ever heard. And of course, as the tour guide is giving it, she's like, well, I don't really like telling this story because the woman who wrote the article about what happened, she was pretty biased against the natives. And it's like, you mean biased against the kidnappers? You mean she was biased against the kidnappers who were holding the women hostage to kill them? You don't say. You don't say. She was biased against them, was she? And it's sad to see how that mindset has permeated absolutely everywhere. I'm sorry. I think it's pretty badass and heroic for three dudes to go into a pitch black tunnel system six stories under the ground and ambush. I mean, it's like I've played that level on Skyrim a couple times. It really happened back in the day. The heroism of our ancestors is being deliberately forgotten these days, and it's very sad. But again, this idea of like, I don't know, you look at what maybe 10 years ago I would have said, socialist nonsense, right? Oh, a work program, sure, you're just wasting good taxpayer money on nonsense. Then you like see like, oh no, wait. No, they put 500 guys to work for 6 years, and now we have a cavern that's an endless generator of revenue. It's an endless generator of interest. It's an endless generator of scientific discovery and investigation. It's an amazing thing. And so you look at what maybe principally I'd be against with the government doing this. Then you look at the way the government acts now, and it's like at least back then they actually were helping the people. At least they actually wanted to give a job to the unemployed people, not just pay the unemployed people to stay unemployed. You take, you know, an example, because even back then, you know, it was people going, whoa, we don't like this. This is a little bit too like Mussolini or Hitler, because Mussolini and Hitler obviously had these sort of like militarized youth gangs that would go around, and they weren't a part of the military necessarily, but they weren't not a part of the military at the same time. And the Conservation Corps was kind of like that, where it was under the military, like the U.S. Army provided engineers to go out and build the dams and stuff. And so it was a bunch of people at the time going, oh, it looks like this FDR guy is setting up his own brown shirt force, black shirt force like Mussolini did. We don't really like this. And it's like, what we wouldn't give for a United States president that just like gave out good paying jobs to people who have been boxed out of the economy for no reason, you know, of their own cause, right? It's not like these guys were just lazy and didn't want to work. They wanted to work. There were just no jobs. So FDR created jobs. And here, looking back 100 years later, seeing all of the lakes in Texas, all of them being sort of fonts of industry and prosperity and recreation, if nothing else. And it's like, we used to be a real country. We used to at least try to be a real country, at least try to build things that were beautiful and create things that were useful for us. What we wouldn't give for a government program that actually benefited people and gave them jobs and built something that lasted and built something that generated revenue. You look at what the U.S. government is doing now, and it's just miserable. I mean, it really is just like nowadays, they certainly wouldn't hire the white guys to go dig out the tunnels and the rocks. They'd be hiring, you know, Indians or whatever else. And you know, the tunnel, they'd spend $10 billion and the tunnel would get more debris in it somehow. I don't know. I don't know how they pull these things off, but that's literally like, it's actually exactly what happens. Like, imagine if the government was like, oh, we're going to do a work program. We're going to clear out these caverns of debris. And then you come back like 10 years later, they spent $2 billion. Nine people have died in the process and there's somehow more debris in the caverns than there were at the end of it. It's like, I don't know. I'm sort of just, it's like, it's not that I'm against the guy. I'm against whatever this is. Whatever we have now, I'm against it. It's not because it's government doing it. It's because it's the government doing things that cannot ever possibly have any sort of consequence that's not negative. It doesn't benefit the American people. It doesn't put anybody to work. It doesn't build things that last. It's not creating new industries here in America. You just see the way that the government reacted and people reacted and communities reacted back then to really things that they, on an individual level, couldn't do much to control, couldn't do much to fight back against. And then you compare it with what we do nowadays, with the problems that aren't even really existent. It's like, at least we had a real country back then. At least we had something and not just endless exploitation, endless just siphoning away of our wealth and our energy and our prosperity and everything else. And it really is pathetic. We also live in a world where people go camping with Bluetooth speakers to play rap songs. So maybe I'm just done with this planet overall. But there were other things, and again, it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know why we allow our small towns to be destroyed in the way that they have. But like, if you want to really feel the decline of the West, go drive through some small towns in Texas, because you can tell they were beautiful once. You can tell that they used to be populated by people who cared and built things meant to last and were establishing roots. And now it's just Dollar Generals and used car parts stores. And it's just like, what have they done to us? And it's deliberate. And I don't understand why we make the choices that we make. And it's not that like poverty is necessarily ugly, right? It's like we like surround ourselves with filth and ugliness on purpose when we don't have to. It's just crazy. And I don't even know how to describe it, but, and people from the Northeast, we have different highway systems here. Like in the Northeast, if you drive on the highway, you see, it's just like a tunnel of trees. And then you like exit if you actually want to do anything. In Texas, the highways are just like big streets. Like the businesses are just right off the highway. So you just exit and you're right there. And again, if you've never driven in places like this, it would be kind of hard to understand. But I'm driving down the highway and I'm looking out the window, and it's just sort of ugliness. It's just sort of like, you know, rotted out industrial parks and old dilapidated collapsed sheet metal buildings. And it's just like kind of ugly. And then there's just one moment, I'm going 70, 80 miles an hour down the highway. But there's just one moment where suddenly there's an unused lot, right? Lot after lot after lot has this just ugly detritus. It's despicable. And then just like for a fleeting moment, there's just an empty field, and it's these rolling hills with, and it's wildflower season. So the whole thing's just blanketed in these yellows and reds and not a lot of blue bonnets this year, kind of weirdly, but just it's just this colorful blanket of grass and totally empty big prairie. And right in the middle is this magnificent oak tree, probably, you know, 20 feet around, circumference, like just this magnificent, huge oak, sprawling branches. And it's like, you know, trash, trash, detritus, woof. And it's just this prairie, this beautiful Hollywood picturesque prairie, and then whoop, trailer park. And it's just like, wow, we really don't deserve this. We really don't deserve the paradise that we've been given. The you know, brilliant beauty that just exists. We don't have to do anything. We didn't have to, but we do ruin it. But we do show up and we do ruin it. And I don't know why. I don't know why everything is so ugly. I don't know why everything is so exploitative. I don't get it. But we've gone so far off the path at this point. Like, I'm not even hating on, like, people live in trailer parks. It's great. It's probably, you know, a great, you know, solution to certain, you know, living situations. I can see people being like, you know, mad. I'm talking about how ugly the trailer park is, but like, I think you could have a nice looking trailer park. I don't think there's anything incumbent in, you know, even poverty or like small town stuff that just means it has to be ugly. But it's almost like we've accepted this idea that it's like, well, you know, we're a small town, so of course there's just rusted out auto parts on the lawn. Of course there's just, you know, giant billboards advertising the sex shop at the edge of the town. Like, yeah, whatever. And it's just like, where's the pride? And at the end of it, that's what I think it comes down to. It's just like, how do we reinvigorate pride in this country, especially because it's a feedback loop, because people don't have pride in their communities. They don't have pride in their country. They don't look after it. They don't take care of it. Well, my neighborhood's house is crappy. That neighbor's house is crappy. Why should my house be any better? So you just let yourself succumb to the ease with which things disintegrate and are destroyed. And then you look around, you go, well, why would I have pride in this? Everything's destroyed and ugly and gross and dangerous. So who cares? And it just sucks, man, because what you have is you can go back and watch the old documentaries they play at Longhorn Caverns and see the 1930s when it was supposedly just the pit of despair and just misery on all hands and people were starving to death. And it was like, I'd rather live then. And you look at it and everybody seems nice. Nobody's stabbing each other in the town square. Yeah, it was kind of hard to find food. But when you got food, it wasn't processed and sent from Argentina to Vietnam to Guam and back to you. You know, it's just like, how have we let everything go so off the rails in this country? And how the hell do we get it back? And I don't know if I have answers, but man, you take a drive around small town Texas and it's like, we got some really big problems to solve here. And then there's little pockets that are just beautiful. And the people are amazing, obviously. But the Longhorn Caverns especially, it's just like, yeah, the band would play. It was the world's first underground nightclub. Come bring your dame down. Hear the tunes of the latest on the radio. You know, it was awesome, man. They had church in there to fight Comanches in there. It was awesome. I guess it was the Comanches, not the Cherokee. I think I said Cherokee either. I believe it was the Comanches, actually, who kidnapped the woman. But of course, like, why would we celebrate any of that? Now it's a tourist destination for all of the Chinese and Indian and Mexican tourist people. And it's all of our ancestors, blood, sweat, and tears, using dynamite and whatever else to clear out this cavern. And now all of their progeny is dead, and we'll get all the foreigners coming in and enjoying the work that we did. So great. It's just great. And again, it's hard to understand how we get back to a place of pride and care and genuinely building things to last and building things for your progeny. Yeah, a bunch of white boys slaving away in the Texas summer, digging out rocks. Like, I don't know, kind of down with that. I'm kind of okay with that, actually. Actually, I think now, the more and more I learn, the more I think about politics in general, it's like, I don't actually care if the government does things. Like, that's not the dividing line for me. It's who is it for and why are they doing it and what's going to be the outcome? I'm not any, illusions that we're going to somehow take on the might of the Chinese with like small localized government. Like, that's just not a possibility anymore. Now, what we need to be doing is demanding that the actions our government does take, for which it has infinite resources and infinite capability, that it actually work for us, for the American people, for the people that actually built this country in the first place, and not just be given out endlessly to everybody else. Somebody tweeted out today, like, well, there should really be like a Manhattan Project to eradicate ticks. And this is another thing. And again, I'm like, am I just being a coward here? Because I'm sure there have always been. Like, I know there's always the latest thing to fear, right? When I was coming up, it was, oh, mosquitoes give you the West Nile virus. That was the big fear thing. I haven't heard West Nile virus in 10 years. Whatever. There's always going to be something to make you scared of going outside. But nowadays, it's like Alpha Gal, the tick, that if you get bit, you can't eat red meat anymore. I think I've got a pretty good excuse for being afraid of ticks now, because I like meat. In fact, it's just like the only thing I like eating. So I feel like I have a bit of a reason, not because succumbing to the fear mongering, but because we actually have these mad scientists carrying out what I believe to be deliberate bioterrorist attacks against America using these ticks. Am I wrong? Because, again, I'm like, am I just turning into, not even my mom, because my mom didn't do it. Am I turning into my friend's helicopter mom, where it's like, watch out for ticks now. You have to remember not to get bit by ticks. I'm like, seriously. No, there are gain of function homunculi ticks out there who will poison your blood and make you allergic to life. So good Lord, watch out for the ticks. And then, I mean, today we're going to talk a lot about the data centers and the way that, like, we really are destroying the earth in every possible way you can imagine, like destroying nature, destroying water. It's all being destroyed faster now than it ever has before, even though for the last several decades we've been endlessly propagandized about environmentalism and climate change and all this other crap. We nevertheless are speed running our natural resources into non-existence, into extinction. And I think that's wrong. Personally, I'm against it. I'm against letting out biologically manipulated ticks. I'm against all of this. But the person goes, you know, I think we need a Manhattan Project to deal with these ticks, which I'm completely in favor of. Again, I could see the libertarian side of me going, oh, another big government project, huh? It's like, yes, to eradicate the ticks that I guess the problem is the government probably released the ticks in the first place. So this is a sort of, you know, problem reaction solution, unfortunately. But, you know, my response to it was like, well, I mean, a Manhattan Project to eradicate ticks in North America, that would cost like $1 billion. And unfortunately, we just spent $25 billion paying Somalis to watch after other Somalis. And then they don't even actually do that. So, you know, this is what I'm talking about. It's like we got a real problem, real issue. The alpha-gal syndrome, the tick spreading is crazy. It's devastating. It's absolutely something our government not just should, but is like obliged to deal with. I don't think there's going to be a free market solution to tick eradication. Sorry. I just don't think, you know, I don't think we're going to find the money in our budget for that this year. Like what? You know, so no public or no private company is going to do this. It's got to be the government doing it. It probably wouldn't be that expensive. It probably would. They probably would be able to do it. Now, unfortunately, knowing the government, their solution would be like, well, we're going to release more geo-modified ticks. This time the ticks are, you know, programmed to not be able to breed. And so we're going to send a bunch of sterile ticks to kill out the, and it's, then we're going to find out 20 years later they can breed and it creates some sort of mutant super tick that eats babies, you know. So I just, you know, the obvious thing to me would be like, if I had $1 billion, I think I would divide that up by however many you'd pay 10,000 people and just go, all right, you all have a quota of 10,000 ticks. Or here's an idea. What if you like invested a whole bunch into like bat conservation, since bats eat a quarter of their body weight in bugs in 30 minutes? That would extremely rapidly, or, you know, possums eat ticks. Can we do some sort of program where we help to manage this population? But no, there's no money. There's no resources. That's crazy. $1 billion. You know how much $1 billion is? We can't afford that. Meanwhile, $20, $50, $100 billion going to the Somali daycare scam or the Indian business scam or the light rail to nowhere in California. We have endless resources for everything except for the American people, except for dealing with actual problems that may have in the first place been caused by the government. Regardless, can we deal with the ticks? Can we deal with the fact that our lakes don't have water in them anymore because of the data centers? Like, how about we just have basic, competent people in government who don't despise our population, and none of these issues would exist? None of them. None of them would exist. You don't think America could deal with ticks? We built the Hoover Dam in like 48 hours. We built the Empire State Building in an afternoon. We could do whatever we want. We could get the ticks off our back. Nah, these ticks are everywhere, these blood-sucking parasites.
Heard Alex Jones talk about some chemical that makes the frogs gay. Raise your hand. Turns out he wasn't wrong. When frogs were exposed to atrazine, some were chemically castrated and feminized. Genetic males developed female reproductive organs, and some even produced viable eggs. What is less known is this. Human exposure to atrazine in the womb is linked to genital malformations in men. Like when the pee hole isn't in the right place on the pee, and it even could be contributing to shrinking sizes. I am talking about micro becoming increasingly common. Despite this, atrazine, the micro chemical, is present in the drinking water of 40 million Americans. Europe banned it. We didn't. Talk about a war on masculinity.
Put another nickel in the Alex Jones was right jar.
The most important people to have stability and consistency would be businessmen. So he formed this trilateral commission of businessmen and politicians from three.
He's literally talking about how they made the fucking basically the Illuminati. This is it's so you literally have. So remember when I said this is like a dev video? What the f- It's literally just a dev video. Alex Jones was right about everything.
The most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
And I have to say, your willingness to platform or to have a conversation with Alex Jones, I think was a revolutionary act.
I'll tell you, that fucking guy is right about a lot of shit.
One of the things he was telling me was about fluoride and about the frogs when exposed that that went from male to female.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
I went back to NBC. We had all these fact checkers. It was all true. We found out all this stuff he was saying was true. And here I am across from you, Harvard-educated Johns Hopkins attending physician saying, yeah, fluoride, just like Alex Jones was saying. Not good. It's crazy.
Alex Jones taught me about this 20 years ago. Listen.
He loves this country. He is a patriot, and he's somebody who we better listen to.
Alex Jones was right. I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
So much work goes into this, and it's all funded by you going to thealexjonesstore.com. So this is a fundraiser time right now. We need to be raising funds because we are launching into the next stage of our, you know, rocket trip. We've shed one booster, and now the new one's firing up, and we need you to fill our tank and give us the fuel to get to that next level. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is a mega sale going on right now. You're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit caps and gummies, up to 35% off methylene red tincture, colostrum, and MK Ultra, and you're getting 30% off all apparel, shirts, hats, hoodies, and everything else. You know, what we sell you at thealexjonesstore.com are just like these amazing naturally occurring vitamins, minerals, supplements, just CMOS and Shilajit. It just is like God's gift to humanity. At some point, humanity discovers it. And get it at thealexjonesstore.com. Gentlemen, welcome back to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. AlexJonesLive.com is the website, AlexJonesLive.com. We also have a new Rumble channel, the official Rumble channel. I gotta say, I'm glad we have an official Rumble channel. I'm glad it exists. Because you go to Rumble, you search, you find 10,000 non-official channels. Our official channel, Rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. Rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. Live. And please do follow us there. And, you know, maybe guys, maybe we should do something at like the end of every hour. Y'all can read off like the top comments or something on the Rumble channel. So I want to get more audience involvement. We can take calls later in the show, but, you know, not everybody can call in. So maybe if you have a Rumble account, like make a Rumble account, leave a comment. And I don't know if we can take super chats there either, but I don't know. We'll have to figure something out because I want to start incorporating more of the comment chain or the X comments into the show because this is a community operation we have going here. It's not just us preaching to you. You guys know just as much as we do about a lot of this stuff, and we always greatly appreciate any input from the audience. And of course, your support means the world to us, and we try to make it as easy as possible to support us by giving you the absolute best products. We right now are in the middle of a 48-hour buy one, get one sale, where if you buy one Shilajit gummies, you get another Shilajit gummy bottle absolutely free. And if you buy one Ultimate Creatine bottle, you get an Ultimate Creatine absolutely free. So it's BOGO Sups on right now. Oh, man, somebody took my Shilajit. Oh, man, I was taking somebody. Oh, no, here they are. I found them. Calm down, everybody. Calm down. False alarm. I have my Shilajit gummies. They're brand new. I'm popping a brand new bottle here. But I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. The Shilajit gummies, the CMOS gummies as well. But the Shilajit gummies right now are buy one, get one. That's BOGO Sups at thealexjonesstore.com. And you only get to take one. This is the worst part of Shilajit gummies is you want to take multiple, but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want, but you're only supposed to take one. I won't eat that quite yet because I won't make you listen to me while chewing a gummy, but they are delicious and good, and you can get them yourself for buy one, get one. That ends tomorrow night, so you're going to want to go now. Shilajit gummies and Ultimate Creatine, both buy one, get one. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack. It's a massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the CMOS capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjonesshowlive.com. Now, what to get into? I have an issue where all of the news is so bad, I literally like don't even want to cover it. It's a problem. It's an issue because we got to face evil and look it in the eyes. And I don't think it's necessarily just because the algorithm is changing or something else. There is clearly a pattern going on. There's clearly a trend observable right now that criminals are just getting let out over and over and over and over and over again until they murder somebody. And even then, they might not be put away. And this is, once again, not really an issue. Like, it shouldn't be an issue. It just shouldn't. I don't understand why it is. If you arrest somebody 18, 19, 30, 40, 50 times, there's got to be some function in our government that goes, this is too much. It's too much. The guy's clearly incapable of living like a normal human being. So we have to just put him in a cage for the rest of his life. Like, that just has to be the solution. Or we can bring back, you know, physical punishments. I'm genuinely in favor of that. And if you pay attention to the culture, you would be too, because jail is not a deterrent for a lot of these populations. They don't care, and they know they're just going to get let out. I mean, do y'all remember when I think it was an illegal immigrant teen, I think it was a Hispanic guy, but it was the guy who ran over the state trooper while filming it in Las Vegas. And when he gets arrested, he's on body cam of the cop being like, it's fine, I'll be out in 24 hours. This DA is going to let me out. And it's another one of these things where the left liberal worldview genuinely does treat certain people like they're animals, like they don't have cognitive function and are not responsible for their own actions, which is a weird sort of form of white supremacy in my opinion. It's why I always make the joke, because it's not really a joke when it's like, oh, he killed somebody, but he's black. So, you know, what, we can't do anything about that. It's like, what? No, he's a human being. He's a human who made a choice and he killed somebody over it. So he has to pay the price. But there's this weird, like, well, he's retarded. What can we do? You can put him to death. That's one thing you can do. I mean, if he's killing people, if it's between him and an innocent girl on the light rail, yeah, I'm going to put him down, actually, first and foremost. Why wouldn't you? And do you have to wait till that moment? Do we really have to just, like, you get a chance, you get chance after chance after chance after chance, and only when you murder somebody will we go, all right, let's put them away? And again, even then, Colorado, or was it California, just passed the law that downgraded murder to second degree if you only killed one person. It's not that like the news is so bad, I don't want to talk about it. It's that the news is so bad and imminently solvable and easily fixable that I don't want to talk about it. Because at the end of the day, all you can do is go, look at how they're killing us. Look, this guy's killing us and that guy's killing us. This guy keeps getting let out of prison after trying to kill us. Yeah, this was the, that was the video of the guy getting run over on his bike by the two teens who laughed about it, bragged about it. And they did get life in jail, thank goodness. But yeah, but that's the thing. You know, we talked about this when the Parkland shooting happened. And, you know, people were pointing out like, yeah, you know, they changed this law because they wanted to stop the school to prison pipeline. They had this dumbass theory by Obama or whoever, thank you, who basically was like, well, we got to stop arresting children when they commit crimes because we're setting them up for a life of failure. And so what did the gangs do? They figured that out and they went, oh, so you mean kids can get away with crime? Great. We'll use kids to do all of our crimes. So the crime went up. It was just kids doing it, and they just never got punished because the criminals figured out that that was the way to hack the system. So when you have these leftists that just treat crime like a phenomenon, like a naturally occurring event, when certain conditions are met of poverty and whatever else, then crime just spontaneously occurs. They have no solution to this. They have no way to fight back against this. It's got to let it happen. We don't have to let it happen. We don't have to let any of this happen. We can just arrest them. And again, you know, I don't like saying the same thing over and over, but it's the same problem over and over. But until it gets fixed, we have to keep talking about it. So, like, I've got a video here, but a guy from California talking about how a man got his arm almost cut off by an insane drug addict homeless person with a samurai sword. And it's people being like, do we really have to live like this? And the answer is yes. As long as you keep voting for leftists, you have to live like this. You do. Because what other option do you have? You can try to fight the guy, but the guy's got a sword, so that's not going to go well. You can try to shoot the guy, but guess what's going to happen to you if you succeed? See, we don't have anarchy. Sounds like we do. When you hear about a guy chopping another guy's arm off with a sword, it sounds an awful lot like anarchy, but try to stop him and you'll see exactly how tyrannical our current system truly is. I'm not sure what number it is, guys. This guy walking with a hat and he's talking to the camera. Here it is. A man living in low-income housing in Venice Beach, California, came out with a samurai sword and attacked someone. He nearly severed the 27-year-old victim's arm. Witnesses described blood spewing from the wound. California resident says he's tired of this being the norm and hearing that we just have to accept it in California. Have we found this video? We can go to it. All right, we'll find that. F that, dude. We might have to censor it anyway. A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword, and seemingly the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh crap, these things just happen. This is our new normal. F that, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs. This should be a standard expectation.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction, these things are, dude, I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs. That's should be a standard expectation.
Sorry, I ate a Shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Has your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach in California? Shilajit gummies are for you. Correct yourself. Fix your brain. Get Shilajit gummies today. Nobody who's taken Shilajit gummies has ever had their arm hacked off by a homeless person. I will promise you that. All right, folks. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. When you get this stuff flowing through your veins, sharpens up the mind, you know. To avoid the tweaker with the samurai sword, you walk around him. You keep your eye out. You keep yourself alert and aware of your surroundings when you're on Shilajit gummies. So if you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. Kidding, of course. But this is what I mean. I'm supposed to discuss this. I'm supposed to comment on this. There's a man running around with a samurai sword trying to chop people's arms off. I'm against that. Personally, I think that's a bad thing. I think America was better before we had Ronin, before we had masterless samurai going around testing their blade against the peasants. I think this is bad and wrong and stupid, self-destructive, and the guy's not caught. They never caught the guy. Can't imagine how you get away wielding a bloody samurai sword, but apparently he got away. So again, if it was anarchy, this wouldn't be an issue. This wouldn't be an issue because the instant somebody pulls a samurai sword out, somebody else has got a gun. Samurai sword's no longer an issue. Continue on your way, all of your limbs intact, right? Under anarchy, under chaos, under no control at all, you never would have to deal with the samurai wielding psychopath because he would have been killed the first time he stepped out of line. Instead, what we have is a maniac wielding a samurai sword, and I guarantee you if somebody on that beach had a gun, somebody on that beach pulled out the gun and shot the guy before he chopped the arm off, then whoever shot the guy, despite being a hero who rescued somebody, he would be thrown into jail, probably for the rest of his life. At the very least, he would have had a very public and life-destroying trial while he was given the Kyle Rittenhouse treatment. Right? Right? Hope you had your Shilajit gummies today. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk around with my own samurai sword. If you're taking your Shilajit gummies, it's a new form of marketing we're going to pioneer. I really shouldn't even be joking about this. I'm sure it wasn't fun having his arm chopped off by a samurai sword, but what are we doing here? But what are the police for? Are the police there to do nothing but stop you from protecting yourself? Because that's how it seems now. So they will not protect you from the samurai sword wielding psychopath. They will, however, hunt you down and punish you if you were to retaliate against him or try to take the law into your own hand. See, they have a monopoly on violence. They have taken unto themselves the ability, the sole exclusive ability to wield violence in America. Now, they seem to not be bothered that much when other people are getting in on their turf. If they're an insane tweaker that's just committing violence against random innocent people who did nothing wrong, then the police are very slow to deal with that. It is just a consequence of the modern world. If, however, you try to take the law into your own hands, you'll see they are not fond of competition and you will be thrown into jail for the rest of your life. So anarcho-tyranny is the name of the game these days. And once again, I cannot talk about this stuff anymore. I mean, so how do we stop talking about this? I guess the question I want to know, how do we move on from this? How do we stop talking about this? And the answer is, of course, you recognize the danger and then you organize to combat that danger and you wield the government to your ends and use it to eliminate the danger. And this is, once again, the thing we have to determine for ourselves is what are the real threats we're facing and how do we go after them? Because nobody in power cares. Nobody gives a damn. Nobody is going to help us. Nobody is going to stop these people. It's up to us. So the media, again, can distract, distort, play down, explain away all of these problems, right? You can turn on the news and hear a terrible attack in a park today when a man wielding a blade attacked another man. That man is injured, and the man is now on the run, and he's lost, and it's a good reminder to always take your Shilajit gummies from thealexjonesstore.com. But they'll report it in their calm, professional voice, and they'll assure you that the responsible authorities have been alerted and are working overtime to fix the problem, and then no problem will be fixed, nothing will be solved, and they'll move on to the next. Sorry, sports at 9. Next up is weather, and it just goes away, and that's it, and it's over. What we need to do is not listen to them. There's a classic post from The Frog. There's a Frog poster on Twitter 1.0. It's one of the best posters of all time. And he has one where it's like, all of our institutions, all of our systems in America have been taken over by foreign enemies, including the system by which we alert ourselves to the dangers that we're facing. Do you understand? So the mainstream media in particular is the consensus maker. It is the mindset unifier. It is the consent manufacturer. And so if they're not the ones telling you, telling us, telling the whole United States, immigration is a danger, immigration has to be dealt with, immigration is causing all of these problems, then nobody's going to deal with immigration. We rely on these news outlets to see the world for us. And if they're only presenting the things that they want you to care about, that's all you're going to see. The classic experience that anybody awake has to relive daily, it seems, is you'll go on a place like X and you'll see story after story after story of the most heinous, horrendous. I don't like talking about it. I've got a clip here about a white girl was kidnapped by her boyfriend and chained up for months before he eventually killed her. And the details of it are worse than you can imagine. And you'll see that today and tomorrow. You'll see another similar story. And the day after that, you'll see another one. And then the day after that, you'll see a fourth. And every single time, it will be criminals with rap sheets 10 miles long committing easily, you know, fixable crimes. And just shattering the lives of innocent people over and over and over and over. It's all racial. It's all predicated on race. It's all allowed to be carried out because of the races of people involved. And then you go on mainstream media and you'll hear about how some university has had to shut down because some white professor acknowledged differences in IQ or used a bad word, you know? And it's just, it's why I'm trying to come up with a word beyond inequality, because it's beyond inequality and it's in your face. But the point of all of this is that if the media was honest, and can you imagine America with an honest media? Can you imagine an America where you turn on the news and the media is actually reporting on concerns of the American people, actually reporting on the plague of black on white crime, of the plague of Indian scam artists taking over entire industries, the plague of Jewish separatist groups creating independent enclaves in America to siphon off the wealth from their neighbors like Tyler Olivieri? Hey, there's a place, there's a usefulness for swords. Don't get me wrong. Can you imagine if the media actually did its job to unify the sentiment of Americans on problems that were actually real? It's really not that hard to imagine how easily solved all of these things could be, but they won't do that. They will instead extrapolate and distort singular non-representative examples of things that serve their interest while the overwhelming, obviously apparent trends go totally unremarked upon. If they are remarked upon, they're treated as distinct and individual instances that have no connection to anything else and certainly cannot be perceived perceived or seen as a pattern to be interrupted. And again, I can't, I mean, I guess we'll go, I guess we can go to some of these things. I don't even really want to. They're all so terrible. They're all so utterly terrible. Let's go to clip 9 here. Why not? So there's this guy. This guy, let's get a load of this. This guy tried to push a girl in front of the train. He was arrested for that. And then the girl refused to press charges because she, quote, didn't want to be responsible for another black man in prison. So instead of going to jail for the attempted murder, because the murder victim is so suicidally empathetic with the person who tried to murder her, he then went on to murder somebody. She didn't press charges. He didn't go to jail for trying to kill her. So he was let out and he went on to murder somebody else. So like, no, why are we not charging her with attempted murder? Why are we not charging her with accessory to murder? Because it wouldn't have been able to be possible if she hadn't willingly gone along with getting him out of prison. She had a responsibility to press charges. She had an obligation to press charges so that it wouldn't happen to anybody else. She gave up that obligation so that he could kill again. But at least no one called her a racist. At least nobody could call her a racist for trying to defend herself against the black guy who tried to push her in front of a train. I am going to call her racist, actually. Look at that. Look at that. She let a criminal go, got somebody murdered, and she still got called racist. Wow, she didn't even get anything at the end of the day. And that's why I have trouble talking about this, because like, for one thing, every story is so utterly horrifying that it makes you want to not go outside. And then it's the fault of the victims at the end of the day. But then you got these dumbass brainwashed white women who are like, literally the guy tries to kill her, 7 prior arrests, throws her onto the train tracks, tries to get her crushed by the train. And she's like, but he doesn't deserve prison. He's black. But he's black. He can't go to prison. He's just a poor, innocent black man who doesn't know what he's doing. He's just a poor, innocent baby animal. We can't send him to jail for that. Yeah, I wish he'd gotten shoved under the train. That would have been useful.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of its operation. So take the link, AlexJonesLive.com, and the link, AlexJonesApp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know, and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.